We're doing the stories of the destruction of the temple, and most of the time we're going to focus on the stories of the second temple, but part of the time we're going to go back to the first temple. We'll try to pay attention to what's going on when. And our story begins with Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, the great sage who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud, taught the following. Mai dichtiv, and this is the introduction the Talmud gives us to the whole story. The introduction is, what does the verse mean when it says, Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid? Praised is someone who is always, praised is the person who is always cautious, worried. Umakshe libo, but someone who hardens his heart, Yipol b'ra'ah. He will stumble and he will fall into an evil time. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you want to know the heading of what brings about the destruction of the second temple? It's that people weren't cautious. The warning, the message that Rabbi Yochanan gives us from the story of the destruction is, praised is he who is always cautious. Now he's going to delineate, he's going to explain. And these stories have a tremendous theme for us even today. People today are very easily say, overthrow the government, let's set up our own government, let's set up our own army. There should be the secular state of Israel and a state called Judea where observant people have their own army. All kinds of wild ideas. Chazal warned us, wait a second, what brought about the destruction of the second temple? People weren't cautious. Praised is a person who is always cautious. Akamtza uvar kamtza charuv Yerushalayim. So Rashi tells us that the word kamtza and bar kamtza is not what we would think it means. Kamtza means a grasshopper. Bar kamtza means the son of a grasshopper. So when we read this line in Talmud, the line in Talmud says, Jerusalem was destroyed over a grasshopper and his son. That's the wording. The word kamtza could also mean a small volume. When the Kohen takes three fingers worth of flour, that's called a kometz. So we could have understood it to mean, over a small volume and its son, Jerusalem was destroyed. Rashi says that's not the pshat. Rashi says kamtza is the name of a Jew, and bar kamtza, son of kamtza, is the name of another Jew. But we're going to revisit the question whether everyone learns like Rashi. So Jerusalem was destroyed over two Jews, one named Grasshopper, and one named Son of a Grasshopper. Were they father and son? That's a good question. Some say they were. Just a second, he was first. Yes.
Okay. Nice. Does this, as far as Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, does this have anything to do with the spies coming back and talking about feeling like they were grasshoppers?
Yes. Okay. The Maharal actually connects this to the story of the spies. Yeah.
Okay.
What you're asking is...
Like grasshoppers?
What?
I've never felt like a grasshopper.
It says, Vanehi ve'inenu kachagavim. And the Targum translates that to kamtza. Yeah.
Doesn't a grasshopper symbolize there's no seder in Balagam?
Why?
I think I remember you told me that once.
Could be.
Does that apply here?
I don't know. It says over here, "Vanehi ve'inenu kechagavim, v'aveina beina nafshana kekimtzin." The translation of we were like grasshoppers is we were like kimtzin, like kamtza. Atanegola vatanegolta, over a rooster and a hen, charuv turmalka. We'll see the story that the mountain of the king, a royal mountain, was destroyed over that. Ashaka derispak charuv beiter. There was a city of Beitar or Beiter. It was destroyed over the what's it called? The beam that the wheel connects to?
The spoke?
The axle.
Axle, thank you. over the axle of the wheel, the city of Beitar was destroyed. Now he's going to delineate. Over Grasshopper and his son, two people, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. Dahu Gavra, there was a man. Derachme Kamtza, his friend's name was Kamtza. Uval Devavein, his enemy, was Bar Kamtza, was the son of Kamtza. Why? Why was he his friend and why was he his enemy? Doesn't tell us. Do we always have reasons why one person is our friend and another person is our enemy? When we finish the story, we will see that Bar Kamtza is one of the most miserable human beings that walked the planet. We will all hate Bar Kamtza by the end of the story. And yet, the story begins with telling us a baseline. He liked him and he hated him. And sometimes the challenge in life is, can I be okay with the guy who's annoying? He's annoying, so... Sometimes that is exactly our challenge. I'll tell you a line off the record. Come to Machon Meir, you'll hear this line on the record. I'm talking about the person, the co-worker. It's very often there are people that rub us the right way and people that rub us the wrong way. I'll tell you a secret. It happens in the best of families. You will have children where you jive with them and you will have children where you don't. And it's not so easy, and you still have to get along with them. God created us that we have a nature, and our nature has people that we get along with better, and people where it's not so natural for us to get along with them. One of the themes we will see about the destruction of the temple, or our responsibility to rebuild it, is our responsibility to be able to connect to people, to be at peace with people who we wouldn't naturally be at peace with them. It's very easy to be friends with the guys who I am naturally friendly with. I'll give you a little challenge. Most people, when they come to the lunchroom, they sit down with basically the same chevra every meal. Why don't you try once sitting with someone that no one else sits next to? Or sitting with someone who it wouldn't be so obvious for you to sit next to that person. What would happen? Maybe you'd actually strike up a conversation and be friends. Yeah, heaven forbid, right? our baseline for the story is he liked him, he hated him. Hate is a very powerful word. In life, we are sometimes surprised to see that it's a part of our emotion, like it or not. And coming back to our story. So he likes Kamtza and he hates Bar Kamtza.
Again.
Yeah.
I see it as one of two things. Is it talking about a person, like the average person, that if you offend him, like in the story, that you don't know what he might do? Or even someone as despicable as Bar Kamtza, you need to respect?
We didn't talk about respecting.
Not to embarrass, I don't know what you would...
We're not yet holding at the continuation of the story. You're jumping ahead. We're at the baseline. I like him, I hate him. Maybe I have to work on myself.
So I'm saying, is it talking about a person who is... that you need to like someone who is not such a good person? Or is it talking about that if you don't like... the average person, or like just someone who's not a big Russia, like in the story, you don't.
In the story, we don't know that he was so wicked before the story. By the end of the story, we discover how wicked he was. But in the beginning of the story, who said he was that type of person? We don't know where people's breaking point is. It's hard to look at the end of the story and say he was always that bad. We don't know. Notice that when the Talmud presents the story, or when Rav Yochanan presents the story, they don't say there was a wicked, vile person in town named Bar Kamtza, and he also hated him. No. Later on, we discover that Bar Kamtza did some pretty evil things. But at this point, we don't know anything bad about Bar Kamtza. We know that the host is not identified by name. Why did Chazal bother telling us the names? Chazal could have just said, he had a friend and an enemy. And when he made a party, the messenger got confused and invited the enemy. No, Chazal went into details. His friend's name was Grasshopper. His enemy's name was Son of a Grasshopper. We'll get back to that. Shalom, Daniel. Yes?
But the host breaks Torah commands.
You're jumping ahead. We haven't gotten there yet.
He said he embarrassed him in public, and he says, you know, you're not allowed to make somebody's dead bread in public. It's like spilling his blood.
We're not there yet. Let's see. We're
he's breaking the Torah command, the host, and because of that, all the things happen.
Okay.
Baal Devave, is he...
Baal Devave means his enemy.
His enemy. And Hahu Gavra is...
That man.
No, but who, is it Eliyahu?
No.
That's a Husava.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that grandfather.
According to one opinion in Tosfos, except for one or two exceptions in Shas, Ahu Saba is Eliyahu Navi, yes. Azal, so I'm sorry. Avad Sudata, he made a feast, could be he married off a daughter. Amale Leshamei, he told the servant, Zil, go, Aitili Kamtza, fetch me Kamtza. Azal, he went, Aitile Bar Kamtza, he brought Bar Kamtza. Ata, so the host came, Ashkeche, Dehavi Yativ, he found him sitting. So Bar Kamtza gets an invitation, and he comes. Amale, so the host said to Bar Kamtza, Mechdi, let's think about this. Hahu Gavra, Bal Devava Dahu Gavrahu. This fellow is the enemy of this fellow. Mai Baitaha, what you doing here? I'm marrying off my daughter. You're the one who turned over my assets to the government. You're the one who sunk my business. You're the one who has done everything in your life to make my life miserable. So why are you at my daughter's wedding? So we don't have the filler. Chazal don't tell us why there was hatred between them. On the contrary, Chazal leave it undefined. But what we do find is that the host says to Bar Kamtza, you are my enemy. He doesn't say, I am your enemy. He says, but you hate me. Wait a second. In the beginning of the story, who hated who? It says, he hated Bar Kamtza. And in the middle of the story, when he meets him at the wedding, or some kind of fancy meal he was doing, what?
He puts the blame on him.
He says, don't you hate me? Why are you doing here? Kum Puk, get up and leave. So now let's take a step back. What was Bar Kamtza thinking when he got an invitation?
Free food.
You think so?
He didn't hate him anymore.
We all know that somewhere in the story, Bar Kamtza is going to offer him, I'll pay for my meal, I'll pay for half the meal, I'll pay for everyone's meal here. Doesn't sound like Bar Kamtza needed free food. So when Bar Kamtza accepted the invitation, what was Bar Kamtza thinking?
We weren't enemies anymore.
Ah. So how many times do we have that in our own life? That we've decided in our minds that we don't get along with so-and-so. And then so-and-so wants to make peace with us. And they've already aroused some pretty harsh sentiment in us. And we're not open to that anymore. I once had a person yell at me in the morning. All day I couldn't calm down. The person yelled and yelled and told me a whole bunch of rotten things. And just my luck, that night, I'm boarding a bus, and the person comes and sits down next to me.
Jesus.
And they sit down with such a smile, and I'm thinking like, oh no, they're not done yet. And the person says, you know, I had such a rotten day today. And I'm thinking, yeah, you made my day so rotten. And I didn't say a word, and the person says to me, I had such a rotten day today, I was hoping I'd see a good friend like you I could share my rotten day with.
I'm thinking, sure it was the same guy.
I'm thinking, oh, so I'm a good friend of his. I didn't know what to say because I had left the morning conversation thinking he hates my guts, after everything he said to me, I didn't think we were friends. And then he comes and sits down next to me. He says, you know, I was hoping I'd see a good friend like you on the bus. I could share with you what my day's been like. And my first thought was, I haven't yet recovered from what you said in the morning. So what do? You force a smile. You fake a smile. And by the end of the conversation, you've forced yourself to be his friend. You are his friend. So you could say, but that's not, that wasn't the real me. But we are offered opportunities in life.
Fake it till you make it.
Even, yeah, but even by people who are, for sure. Fake it till you make it is the way we develop our traits. That's what Rambam writes. You want to acquire a trait, act as though you have it. And then with time, you'll acquire it. That's the only way to acquire a trait. What are you going to do? Wait till it happens? It doesn't happen. So you act as though you have the trait. So, Bar Kamtza, we just had an opportunity for tremendous peace. A mistake happened, Bar Kamtza came. Now what do you do? So the host says, I thought you hate me. And Bar Kamtza says, but I've already come, so let me stick it out. Now here we will go back to the opening line. What was Rav Yochanan's opening line? Rav Yochanan's opening line was, praised is he who is always cautious, and a person who hardens his heart will fall in evil. Well, very often in life, we tell ourselves, I'm not giving in. No way. Right? The other guy's ready to make peace, but I'm not going to give in. The other guy is nice. He's coming and saying, I was hoping I'd meet a good friend like you at the end of my day. And what's my first thought? Oh, so now I'm your friend. Well, wait a second, buddy. Then let's go back to our morning conversation if we're such good friends. Are we going to harden our heart? Rav Yochanan tells us the involvement of destruction of Israel was about two components. People weren't cautious and people hardened their heart. And we often have that choice. How open am I going to be? Chazal tell us that our greatest nemesis in world history was developed through hardened hearts. You had Timnah, who came to Avraham Avinu and said, I want to join the Jewish people. And Avraham Avinu denied her the opportunity, so she went and joined Esav, because she didn't see another way. And then she ended up mothering Amalek. And you had a similar story with Yeshu, who did something inappropriate and wrong, and his Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya was tough with him. And then on the final time where he could have taken him back in, there was a misunderstanding. But he brought him to the edge. He was tough with him and he brought him to the point, Chazal say, Le'olam te'smol dochavi min mekarevet. Even in educating our own children, even when we have to be tough with them, it should always be clear to the child, I'm tough with you with the weaker part of me. I'm bringing you close with the stronger part of me. Bringing you close is a far more important component than being tough with you, which is the major component of a parent. Very often we think, my job is to be tough as nails. Who's going to teach him how to behave? No, my first job is to be the source of love. My first job is to be Yamin Mikarevit. My stronger arm gives him a hug. My weaker arm is the one that reprimands. So I always ask parents, what's the balance in your home? How many words of rebuke do you say versus words of praise? Do you have a ratio of 10 to 1, 12 to 1? 15 to 1, words of praise, 10, words of rebuke, 1. Do you at least have a ratio of 2 to 1? You should try to have a ratio of 10 to 1. But where is the ratio? Most parents are unfortunately going to say, yeah, sure, my ratio is 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. I give them 10 times over the head before I tell them one good word. That's the natural way a home runs, because you have to deal with all kinds of things that are not right. Wait a second. Most of what's going on is right. Most of what's going on is not wrong. Ah, but I expect more. I should expect more, but do I have to reprimand? The main theme in a home, the main theme in a relationship has to be Yamin Mekarevit. The right hand brings close, Chazal said. The stronger hand brings close. Bar Kamtza and this host were given an opportunity to make peace through a misunderstanding, but they could have made peace. But the host hardens his heart and he says, wait a second. Now, what does Bar Kamtza do? He says, if I've already come, let me be. He says, leave. He says, Amalei, he said to him, Hoil v'ata, if I've already come, Shavkan, let me go. Ve'even alach t'mei ma'dachin v'shatina, I'll pay you for what I've eaten and drank. Amalei lo. Now we start seeing the hard heart. He said, no. Someone asks us for charity. We think he's a fake. We say no. We're 100% legitimate. But what type of person are we after we've said no? I'm 100% right. I don't have to say yes. But when I give him something, I'm a different person. And when I withhold it, I'm a different person. I'm entitled. I don't have to give him a penny. I don't think he's legit. I don't have to give him a penny. It's 100% true. But what type of person am I when I haven't given him? The host says, no. Now we've evolved. You will make a profit off me. I will pay you off for half the meal. If we take a step back, hey, I'm getting half the meal back. Now it's even profitable for me to let him stay. Amalei lo. He says, no. So he's hardened his heart at step two. Where it's even in his benefit to leave the guy there, he says, no. I'll pay you for all of the meal. Amalei lo. He said, no. Now, why did the Talmud tell us these three stages?
Show you how dumb he has pride went.
Maybe to tell us that step one led to step two and step two led to step three. Sometimes we have an opportunity. Chazal told us to always try and pursue a small mitzvah, because a small mitzvah puts us in the right state of mind, which will lead us to a bigger mitzvah. And doing something small that's wrong leads us in the opposite direction. It began with the host making an issue of it. And then it evolved to a point where the host would lose nothing by letting him stay. And he said no. And you know what? When a person hardens his heart to say no, then the next no is much easier. And the final no, which says, I'm not even letting you stay if you pay for everyone's food. So then the host really benefits. No. Nakte biyade. He took him by the hand. V'ukme. And lifted him up. V'apke. And shoved him out the door. How far can a person go? How far can a person go in looking down at someone else? Well, this might seem far-fetched to you, but Chazal tell us that throughout our history we've made these mistakes. Let's take an example that Be'ezrat Hashem will be relevant to all of you. You're getting married. Who do you invite to your wedding? What difference does it make? But it does make a difference. Purim's going to come up, right? Who do you go and bring Mishloach Manot to? So some people bring Mishloach Manot to their good friends. Fine, it says Mishloach Manot ish l'reyeyu. But what would be so terrible if people would bring a Mishloach Manot to the guy that you think is not going to get from anyone else? Food for thought. Chazal tell us it's an evolvement. We develop either a kind heart or we develop the hard heart that can ultimately kick a guy out of the event. Give me just a minute. A few years ago, I was invited to an upsharon. There was a family that was going to the Kotel to give their son his first haircut where they would leave him the payas. So many Hasidic families celebrated, and today a lot of people, even if they're not Hasidic, celebrate it. Okay, so we come to the Kotel, and everyone's coming bright and early. It's almost like a bar mitzvah, you know, you're coming to daven. You didn't need anything yet. We finish the davening, they go up from the Kotel to the Rechava, what do you call that in English?
To the plaza.
They go up to the plaza, and they're going to cut his hair for the first time. Now, no one's eaten anything, no one's drank anything, and there were a bunch of people at the Kotel who were collecting money. Let's say they were poor people, and they come up after us, and there's this whole long line. Let's say we were a group of 20 people. Well, there were maybe 20 people there who were coming to join the simcha. So, how do you look at that? You brought three boxes of ragalach for your guests. You brought three bottles of drinks. And suddenly you have double the number of people coming to your simcha. People who you didn't invite. So, I'm a guest. It's not my issue. It's their issue. It was interesting to watch. the grandparents said to the people coming, give us just a minute and everyone will get. So I was wondering, just a minute meant they're going to give to all their guests and then they're going to give to the people there. No, just a minute meant give me a second because my grandson is waiting to have his hair cut. And so they gave him the first snip just so that he would feel like he had his hair cut. And then they took the boxes of Ragalach and they brought them to all these people who had come up from the Kotel who were not a part of the family. With the biggest smiles, they gave them to eat and drink, and all of us family members were left standing there. I don't know if we had anything left by the time they were done. And I was a distant, I was a relative through marriage. I wasn't like, wasn't my direct family. And I was so impressed that these people, that everyone had come not eating breakfast. We were all far away from our homes. But their first thought was, here you have people who are collecting money. And they obviously want some of the food. They went and gave them first. My first thought, I was a bachelor back then. My first thought was, do they have a daughter for me? That's the midah of chesed. Chazal said, you look for a wife, you look for chesed. Chazal, tell us, how do we view other people? The story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. How does a person look at the guy who asks him, can you give me? How do we look at it? Chazal say, is it a hard heart or a soft heart? So when Chazal described the destruction, Chazal could have said, as Josephus says, there was poor military planning. It was a ludicrous campaign against the Romans. They didn't stand a chance. You open up Josephus, you see all the secular approach to the destruction of the temple. And the secular approach has validity. Josephus describes the infighting. Josephus describes how one group fought the other and how ultimately they really caused one another to starve. As we will see, Chazal discussed that too. But Chazal take us to the heart of the matter. Chazal say, you want to know where we were destroyed? It was because people had developed a hardened heart. People weren't cautious. Story number one, we see the hardened heart of the host. We're in the middle of the story. Yes.
Are weddings an auspicious time in terms of, I mean, obviously the future, but you were mentioning that all of Boaz's 70 children died because he did not invite someone.
Shimshon's father.
Well, he heard him. They were both the leaders of the generation.
Right. And he said, well, he can't invite me to... Whatever his logic was, didn't make any sense. But, is it, like, an auspicious time for, like, future generations?
I don't know. I don't know. Chazal certainly stressed this idea. There's a custom that a person on their wedding day feeds the poor. So it certainly sounds that way.
There's a story about the snake.
Right? Right? So this is where we'll have to pause for today, and we will, next time, Be'ezat Hashem, we'll try to arrange printouts for everyone. Maybe we'll also get the editions that Chazal had in the Jerusalem Talmud. Our Madrich can maybe print out some copies. I assume guys would like to follow inside, yeah? So maybe we can... We'll continue Be'ezat Hashem on Thursday night. Right now we'll try to get some of the parsha done in the remaining 15 minutes.